I welcome you here to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. I am Reverend Carol Baker, and we are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nettney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. And as we always say, if you are visiting with us today, we hope that you will come back and be with us often. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Let us rejoice in the Lord, for we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. Let us express our love for him as we call ourselves to worship. At times we forget what Jesus told us about obeying his commands. In the Gospel of John, he said, "If anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and I will come to them and make our home with them." The nature of his commands are to love God above all else and to love our neighbor as we do ourselves. Lord, we pray that we may follow your example and your commands as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
This is the time we do share announcements. And first of all, I'd like to call on Cheryl Rogers for our mission moment. So Cheryl, unmute yourself and speak.
Hi, how was everybody? We're still doing donations for the supply snacks, facts, I should say. Martha is going to pick them up at noontime at the town hall on Tuesday, September 29th. So if anybody has anything to bring it before then, please. And we also have food for helping food and friends. Some of them are from Pam Trello's group. And we serve over 170 meals, grab and go, a day, 6 days a week. So we need help with them too. So if you can do them on top of the supply sacks, we'd be very happy indeed. Enjoy your Sunday, and I hope we win today. Talk to you later. Love.
Okay. Thank you very much, Cheryl. I appreciate that. Yeah, so if you do have those donations for the supply sacks, Martha would like them at the church. If you don't want to go to the town hall, come to the church and bring them to the office by noon this Tuesday, and then she's going to indeed bring them down to the town hall. And the other donations for the Food and Friends program that serves so many people in our area, they really are looking for financial help at this point because they need to order by bulk. They can't deal with just donations of food. I also wanted to remind you that the event that we're calling Confused About All Lives Matter will be held today at 2 p.m. We hope you'll plan to join us out on the lawn of the CE building. This is a discussion about race in America and the current civil rights movement. It's co-hosted by Eric Newby and Cheryl Peterson, and they will each share their own stories as to how they relate to the Black Lives Matter movement before inviting others to join the conversation. So we hope that we will have people there and able to ask questions in a respectful and atmosphere, and maybe share some other thoughts about their personal journeys in this area as well. I would remind you that if you are coming, please bring your own chair and refreshments, and we need to wear masks, and we're going to be practicing social distancing.
Ashley posted a link in the chat to RSVP.
So thank you. You find that in the chat room.
Yep.
Okay, so if you want to answer to her, we appreciate that. That's great. Very good. There are new copies of the Scripture Union booklets entitled Encounter with God, and some of those readings are dealing with what is happening to people during COVID-19, during this pandemic, and they are free. If you can come by the office on any Tuesday or Thursday, that would be great. And if you can't do that, we will get one delivered to you. And virtual Sunday school began today at 9 a.m. for the tweens and 9:15 for the younger students. And I'm hearing that it was a great success. So we hope that continues to grow. Are there any other announcements anyone would like to make? Please feel free to unmute yourselves and speak out. All right, hearing none then, Mr. Dave, would you like to introduce your music to us?
Yes. We're going to be singing Morning Has Broken, and it's one of the favorites that's always in the fishbowl when I pull out hymns. And I do go into church periodically to play the organ, just to give it a little run and keep it running. And I do check the fishbowl for what our favorites are, and I'm trying to do some of those so they're familiar hymns to us. And this is one of those familiar ones that everyone likes to sing. If you get the email, it is in the church email for the worship service of this week. And it's also posted in the chat. If you go to the little chat button here on the Zoom service, you can also find the lyrics posted there too. So let us all sing. We're going to sing three verses of Morning Has Broken.
Of the
Thank you for that, Mr. Dave. That was beautiful. One of my favorites for sure. This is the time we share our celebrations as a church family. Don't know how many of these, this is a celebration, but Ed Dyer was hospitalized this past week, right after our worship service, as a matter of fact, but he is back home. But the day he came home, his wife, Janet, went back in the hospital. Oh. It's sturdy. So it's been a tough week for us. I'm hearing about all sorts of people having issues and so forth. If you would like to unmute yourself and share a celebration, please feel welcome to do so. Sandy? Yep.
Yeah, my grandson came over yesterday and transplanted two plants for us and put in a rose bush for us, so we didn't have to do all that digging. It was wonderful. And they're looking healthy and great again.
So we need nature more than ever these days. Absolutely. Thank you.
He's a real sweetheart.
Good. Any other celebrations?
I would like to celebrate something. I have a question. There's a, at the church, if you're, you know, at the bottom door in the parking lot to go up the stairs, there's a holly bush there. Is that from Charlie Legg? Because I know he used to have holly in his yard and he used to bring it over. I think that might be one of his bushes from his yard.
I'm not sure or whether it was the actual plantings we did do at the front of the building.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the area of the church, I was there this past week, just pulling the parking lot and look at that holly bush, because it is as green as can be with beautiful red berries on it. It looks so healthy. It couldn't be any better. And I just thought, I thought of Charlie when I saw that, because I remember he used to bring his holly stems and all that to the fairs and all that. And people used to love that around Christmas time, but. If you're in that area, just go look at that bush. It's actually gigantic, and it's just beautiful. So that's a blessing.
It probably is Charlie talking to us. You're absolutely right about that. Any other celebrations?
Reverend Carol. Oops, yeah. Go ahead.
This is Carmen. My mom just turned 95. She had a birthday Tuesday.
Oh, nice. 95. Just a kid.
Yeah.
And Tammy, I think
the remote position that I was hoping to attain came through this past week. So if everything aligns as it should, I should be moving by November, beginning of November.
Wow, I'll get you your Patriots jersey then.
And it's a good thing for Thanksgiving that you would be here. That's terrific.
Yes.
We will be thankful to welcome you.
I look forward to it. So we're just praying everything still aligns up so it all works out.
Absolutely. I know Eric's praying for it.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice for sure.
So. Absolutely.
I want to celebrate that my brother and his girlfriend are here visiting this weekend too. So.
Oh, nice. Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, I want to know who fell asleep first yesterday, you know, when you were, the baby was sleeping, you were sleeping.
Oh, man, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. Not sure. He'll be tagging along with me to the meeting today. So.
Good morning, other son. Good morning, Jonathan.
Okay, well, you have to come a long distance to see your sons, huh? Any other celebrations? Then let us turn to our concerns as a church family, and they are many, I have to tell you. For people that we're praying for individually, we pray this morning for people who are ill and others who are in need of prayer, including these people. We pray for Loretta, for Chad, for Roberta, for Ken. We're going to start to pray for Wayne. Wayne needs all the prayers he can get all the time, but he's, 10 days out now from his second surgery. To replace a knee. So Wayne, we pray for you. We pray for Doris and Cher, for Brigitte, for Lee, for Edith, who is Aaron's grandmother, for Nancy, Kathy Trowbridge's mother, who is at home following surgery. We pray for Marie. Jan Meyer Dirks had asked for prayers for Bonnie and Bob last week, and Bob was put in hospice and he did indeed pass away. So our thoughts and prayers are with Jan. Jan's mother, who lives in New York, has also been exposed to the COVID virus, and her best friend Barbara is hospitalized for it. So we pray for Mickey and Barbara. As I mentioned, Janet is in the hospital. She's doing better. Perhaps she'll be home soon. I also learned that one of our Sunday school children, that would be Grace, who lives with the Bosses, her best friend Raylan is 12 years old, is going to begin treatment for cancer tomorrow. So we're sorry to hear of any child that has to deal with cancer. And also Julie Goss's brother-in-law got a diagnosis of cancer, and we're asked to pray for him, and his name is Bert. We remember those who are in our nursing homes as well, Bud, Jackie, and Carol. We continue to pray for all people who have been affected by COVID-19 and for all of the medical workers and first responders that are working so hard. We are having a little uptick once again in Massachusetts, I'm sorry to say. We pray for all the essential workers, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us, for those who suffer from addictions. And as always, we pray for our nation, a nation divided, and our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me in a prayer, and there will be a time of silence when at home you can lift up into God's presence any other names that you may have in your hearts this morning. Let us pray. Loving God, we offer our prayer of thanks for this church, for its ministry to those with individual needs, for its outreach to our community through addressing of challenging issues. We thank you for its conscience in responding to crises, both here in the United States and around the world. Grant us a breadth of vision and a depth of feeling that enable us to continue the exercise of compassion that is truly Christ-like, intimate in its approach, noble in its intent, and all-embracing in its scope. We thank you for parents who bring their children here, for baptism and for learning your teachings for our lives. Help us to be steadfast in the task of discipling our children, teaching them to value the dignity of others, to practice the love you place within them, to maintain exuberance for service within the church community. Keep us active in worship and open to caring companionship with one another. Enable us to be keepers of faith in a culture that often demeans it, distorts it, and rejects its power. Remind us always to support one another and to be energetic on our prayer for those in need. And so we pray fervently that your healing presence will be with all of those whom we have mentioned this morning, as well as those whose name we now bring before you in silence. We offer this our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our scripture lesson from today continues the story of Moses. 3 months after crossing the Red Sea, Moses ascends Mount Sinai and is presented with what we now call the Ten Commandments, also known as the Covenant. Please hear these words. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. Honor your father and mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne, for that reading. It is indeed, as you just heard, about 3 months after the escape from Egypt. And we are told that Moses had left behind his wife Zipporah and his 2 sons with his father-in-law Jethro in their home in Midian on the Red Sea. Jethro has now heard of the wonderful things that God has done for Moses and journeys with Zipporah and the 2 sons to where Moses is encamped. And Jethro praises this God of Moses because it was not his God. But he says he now understands that this God is the greatest of all the gods. Following a meal, Moses sits down as a Bedouin chief would to hear and judge disputes among the many people. Jethro admonishes Moses and says that he is going to kill himself with stress if he continues to try to judge people day and night all alone. There is no legal precedent for what he is doing, so Jethro suggests that Moses should appoint chieftains among the people to help in judging all these cases. This seems to be leading up to the idea that there needs to be a set of laws to help Moses govern the people rather than trying to decide each case individually. I don't know if any of you remember the old Saturday Evening Post. I don't think it's published anymore. And often the cover of that magazine was by Norman Rockwell. We all know Norman Rockwell, I hope. But one such cover showed a woman buying a Thanksgiving turkey. The turkey was lying on the scales, and the butcher was standing in the back of the counter, his apron pulled tight over his fat stomach, a pencil tucked under his ear. The customer is a lovely lady of about 60, and she was standing there watching the weighing in. Each of them had a pleased look as if each knew a secret joke. There's nothing unusual about a butcher and a customer watching as a turkey is being weighed, but the expression on their faces indicated that something unusual was going on. And Norman Rockwell, in his own inimitable way, lets us in on the joke by showing us their hands. You see, the butcher is pushing down on the scales with a big fat thumb. The woman is pushing up on them with a dainty forefinger. And neither is aware of what the other is doing. Both the butcher and the lovely lady would probably resent being called thieves. The little lady would never rob a bank or steal a car. The butcher would probably be very indignant if anyone accused him of stealing, and he would go into a rage if a customer gave him a bad check. But neither saw anything wrong with this little deception that would make a few cents for one or save a few cents for the other. Norman Rockwell was a master at revealing our humanity in his paintings. And in this one, he gives us a picture of how we seek to live life, somehow always trying to manipulate it for our own advantage. And that, my friends, is what the Ten Commandments are all about, to remind us that there are eternal laws in the universe by which we must live if life is going to come out God's way. Leland Gregory wrote a book called Stupid History, and he tells of a colossal error. The Bible, we know as the King James Version of the Bible, was published in 1611. And in 1631, King Charles I ordered 1,000 Bibles from an English printer named Robert Barker. Now, printing was not an exact science in those days, and they didn't have really good proofreaders. And sometimes mistakes were made, and they were usually overlooked, but it was hard to overlook this particular problem. You see, the printer inadvertently left out a single word in the seventh commandment of Exodus 20, 14, the word not. Now, I'm not going to test your memory and see if you can figure out which one of the Ten Commandments we were told to do, but readers were shocked to find out that God had commanded Moses thou shalt commit adultery, as opposed to thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a big problem, isn't it? King Charles was not amused by this mistake and ordered all the Bibles destroyed. He fined Barker 300 pounds sterling, which was a lifetime's wages in those days, and revoked his printing license, and Barker was out of business and was made a pauper. Interestingly enough, not all the Bibles were destroyed, and there are 11 known still to exist. Because of this infamous mistake, this printing of the official King James Version of the Bible is referred to as the Wicked Bible. I don't have to tell you that many people would like to rewrite the Ten Commandments. In her autobiography, My Life So Far, actress Jane Fonda revealed some interesting details about dating and marrying the media mogul Ted Turner. On one of their first dates, he bragged about replacing the Ten Commandments with what he called the 10 voluntary initiatives, which included caring for the earth, having no more than 2 children per family, etc. And he assured Fonda that in the modern world, people just couldn't stomach being commanded to do anything. We're certainly learning that about masks, aren't we, right now? We're having a bad time convincing people that they need to do that for their own good. Ronald Reagan once said, I've wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the United States Congress. Do I need to say anything more considering what is going on in Washington these days? It has been reported recently that 97% of Americans say that the Ten Commandments are important, but only 5% can name even 3 of them. Fortunately, there's no quiz for you today. The laws handed to Moses on Mount Sinai were more than just demands that may seem unreasonable to people. These laws were for people who had a pre-existing covenant or agreement made between God and Abraham, a promise that God would make a great nation out of Abraham's descendants. Now God makes yet another covenant, this time with Moses, to assure the hope of surviving in the promised land. God was not trying to be a great prohibitor. These laws were designed to protect them and us as mere mortals. God is not a killjoy. God wants us to experience abundant joy. However, nothing would be more miserable than trying to live in a society where these laws were totally disregarded. Can you ever imagine wanting to live in a community where stealing and murder were rampant, or even adultery for that matter? Can you imagine a society where people ditched their parents when their parents reached an age where they needed help? Nothing would be more miserable than trying to live in a society where these laws were totally disregarded. These commandments were given to us for our protection. What parent does not start off by disciplining their children with don't do this and don't do this? Don't play in the street. Don't touch that hot stove. Don't drive too fast. Don't try recreational drugs. We have all made our own list of thou shalt nots, haven't we? Moses received the needed covenant. God recognized that we humans that he created needed something to help guide them through this life. And not much has really changed in these many thousands of years. These rules for living that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai are called the Ten Commandments. And as we look at these rules for living, it's worth noting that the first 4 deal with our relationship with God, and the last 6 deal with our relationship with other people. Before any of us can live rightly, we must have some principles within us to guide our lives. And according to the Ten Commandments, there really are only 2 precepts: reverence for God and respect for other people. It's pretty simple, isn't it? In Matthew 22, we're told about the Pharisees who were getting together to try to find a reason to condemn Jesus. And as they gathered together, it was one of them, one of the Pharisees, they were known as the lawyers, and that lawyer asked him a question to test him. And it was simply this: Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. The Ten Commandments attempt to tell us that to be human is to be responsible. They attempt to provide a series of principles or ethics for life, which affirm very simply that there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. Unfortunately, it seems that we live in a world where old standards of morality are being questioned every single day. We live in a world where some have abandoned the idea of fairness and replaced it with a simple goal of winning, even if we have to lie and cheat and steal in order to win. We live in a world that is caught in a whirlpool of change, and concern for the have-nots and the helpless people of our society has been replaced with too many of our own selfish desires to make it no matter what it costs. Do we believe these Ten Commandments and these two precepts are too outdated for us? I sincerely hope that is not the case. Into this world of upheaval and change, the Ten Commandments still ring true. Close to 3,000 years have come and gone since Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He carried with him 10 commandments for living, not 10 suggestions. These 10 commandments have not budged one inch in calling men and women to the same ethical standards of life. Times may have changed, but the principles of the 10 commandments are eternally the same. I believe it will steady our souls to remember that. Some things remain constants even in the midst of all of the noise and the change. Some things are not transients. Some things are not at the mercy of the popular vote. And some things, like the Ten Commandments, are timeless and permanent. We can come back to them and confidently follow them with our lives. They are rules or guidelines for living that come to us directly from God. These norms will guide us and protect us. Love God and love our neighbors. It's really that simple. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. Grant us, Lord, that what we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts and practice in our lives. And of your mercy, keep us faithful to your covenant with us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This concludes today's services, and we welcome you to stick around to have our virtual coffee hour at this time.